defeating all our enemies. In our lives as Christians, we face a lot of enemies. And our enemies, they don't necessarily come in big armies, isn't it? They come really massively in different forms that are hidden. And sometimes the enemies presents themselves to us in ruining a lot of things for us and coming in forms that are really can be devastating. They come against us, against our minds, against our hearts, against even our success, against relationships we have with our wives, husbands, brothers. The enemy really comes powerfully to raise even a greater doubt and the area where he works, he aims at dismissing the promise of God in our lives. It's stopping us from pressing on and enjoying God's blessings. Just for example, we have King David here, a man raised up by God, given a lot of promises by God that I will be with you, that I will establish your kingdom, I will defeat all your enemies. Just imagine if David ends up being defeated by all his enemies. Just imagine also, just come forth and say in our days, just if all that you experience is just defeat after defeat and nothing of God's really blessings and evidence that is with you. Can be a terrifying thing, isn't it? And so tonight God is telling us that is God who is faithful in his promises, because what we see here in this text is God faithfulness fulfilling all the promises that he has made to David. And just if I go back a little bit from last week when we heard David praying, we read his great prayers in chapter 7 of 2 Samuel. His prayers were really amazing, where they respond to the promises of God to him, because God has promised him. He was trying to build a house for God, and yet the Lord God sent a prophet, Nathan, and said to him, "Go and tell David, go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says, are you the one to build me a house to dwell in? I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought the Israelites up out of Egypt to this day. I have been moving from place to place with the tent as my dwelling. Wherever I have moved with all the Israelites, did I ever say to any of their rulers whom I have commanded to shepherd my people Israel, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now then tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says, this is what the Yahweh says. I took you from the pasture and from the following the flock to be ruler over my people Israel." He has been raised into just being with animals, like real to lead God's people. As God himself, he was the leader of his own people. And now he is raising him up to be his representative. "And now I have been with you wherever you have gone." God was with him. God protected him from Saul. Saul was trying to murder him again and again. David was saved by God. Even when he was pretending to belong to another nation, God brought him back. "I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all your enemies." That is why you are standing today, isn't it? Now, even now, and then in my last sermon, I said the past and the present. And then the Lord says, "Now, I did this for you. Now, I will make your name great like the names of the greatest men of the earth." Just defeating all his enemies. The ark has been brought into their presence. God dwelt with them. So his name is being great, full of his spirit, full of the joy of the Lord, the strength of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is your strength. God defeating, establishing him in God. And that is what really God wants to do with us. God wants to establish us in Christ, in him. To be people full of faith and vitality, full of the Paul talks about authority that is given to God's people. You come into territories where the enemy is just like raining. You see, just you come and you diffuse his presence and dismantle his activities, just casting out demons and releasing people to be free to choose Christ. Because Christ is speaking to them, being chosen. And yet, when people come with God and with faith into a situation where God has a work to do, but the enemy always interferes, isn't it? But the authority of God's people is one that God uses. And then now, this is what God is saying, and I will provide a place for my people Israel and will plant them so that they can have a home of their own. God establishing them, giving them security from all the sides. And David responded to this with prayer, isn't it? He prayed, he thanked God. Whom am I, O sovereign Lord, and what is my family, that you have brought me this far? A fugitive brought. He was running for his life. He had only 600 men hiding with him. And now has made the king of the whole Israel. Thousands and thousands having the great command. There's one thing that we don't know very well because we are not in the military, isn't it? There's one thing really the military people like so much when you have been raised into the high ranking of the army. It's just a place of honor. So now you give all the commands. You are second to God here on earth. And you see a lot of troubles happen around the world simply because if a high-ranking officer has been bypassed in a promotion, they can attempt a coup where thousands and thousands of people can die. We have a situation now in Nigeria, a city in West Africa. Just imagine. And so if you have been raised by God to a place like that, and you know God is a good God, his purpose are to bring glory to his name and also bring security to his own people. And that is why God said, I will raise you up. And David is saying, now you have honored me so much. You brought me to this position of authority. Now God has to fulfill these things. And that is our heart's cry, that the promises of God, even in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, we have to test them. We have to know the victories that are ours. Answer to prayers, praying to see God answering our prayers. Is a delight. Even if you lost something, at least small things, and you pray about it, you see, and then you see God having interest even in the small things. Because if we do things ourselves, then we should not boast, actually. But if we know that every small thing God is involved in, and then we know that we are treasured possession, isn't it? We know that God is with us as God's people. Because we can't have a religion without God himself. Any God, any religion without God is a cult, isn't it? And so that is why we want to make sure in all that even if we struggle, we need to know that we are in his will. And I have said that back even with that when they were fighting to bring back the Ark of the Covenant. I said it was very important for them to have God in their midst, not just only God to give us food and protect us on the streets. We need to know that he is with us. Very important. And now David, as a fulfillment of God's promises, now he entered into this. Now, in the course of time, David defeated the Philistines and subdued them, and he took Methek Amar from the control of the Philistines. We see the Philistines, they were the very people who were standing against the advancements of what God was doing. God here is about building a nation for himself. He's building about a people for himself. And we know Christ came from Judah, born in Bethlehem. That was the dwelling place of our Lord Jesus Christ. And God said he made a home for these people and he will protect them because they can be wiped out. And we know places where Christianity was defeated was when the Muslim came and they wiped out Christians. Some who were left were subjected to them. subdued. Just see the reverse here. And those who were subdued, many of them came to be people of Israel. You find some of them. So now David started to defeat the Philistines. They were the first enemies in the land. David also defeated the Moabites. So here, what every kind of obstacle, every kind of opposition, God was bringing down. And now they have this activity, so they to spare some and to leave some. That is from verse 2 to the whole verse. We read that. He made them lie down on the ground and measured them off with a length of cord. Every two lengths of them were put to death, and the third length was allowed to live. So the Moabites became subject to David and brought tribute. And now also, David went on to fight his enemies, Hadadezer, son of Rehob, king of Zoboah. He went to restore his control along the Euphrates River. So he's expanding. This is a military activity where David is conquering. And he went on to defeat them. When the Arameans of Damascus came to help Hadadezer, king of Zoboah, David struck down 22,000 of them. He put garrisons in the Aramean kingdom of Damascus, and the Arameans became subjects to him and brought tribute. The Lord gave David victory where he went. And this word will be repeated in verse 13. The Lord gave David victory wherever he went. It is very important that this victory that was coming was from God himself, was not from David. But the ingredients which were very important for David to experience this victory was obedience to God. Something Saul failed to do. But David, he obeys here, and we see God fulfilling his purposes. You know that God didn't do these things with Saul. And he will not do these things with those who will not obey. That is the principle. So from 1 to 6, military activities. And now we have from 7 to verse 14, there are spoils in the battles, isn't it? There are things that God gives out of this victory. So just you pray for something and God gives you something. What are you going to do with this thing that God has given you? God has opened your mind and enlightened your understanding to know the supremacy of Christ, his winsome presence, his power, his love, his voice, his guidance. What are you doing with all these things? What are you doing with this knowledge? Some became like celebrities about this. Rightly sometimes, because this is what they are. They've come to experience Christ. But now what are they doing with it? So it's not wrong for God to give you the understanding, the knowledge. That is what he is calling us to. He has invited us to bless us. Ask and it shall be given. Knock and the door shall be opened. Seek and you shall find. He will do all these things. But what are we going to do in response with all these things? He may enlarge our territories, but what are we going to do with all these things? Maybe he has given us grace in the eyes of many people. We are respected and honored and loved and cherished. What are we going to do with all these things in response to God's grace and blessings upon our lives? His friendship, intimate relationship with Christ. What are we going to do with all these things? Are we going to use it to take advantage of people, or are we going to lay our lives down for the blessings of the people? If God has given us money, what are we going to do in response? I know it can be a very dangerous thing. We can be taken advantage of because we are generous and God's and a blessed of the Lord. And yet again, we can ask of wisdom Actually, I was sharing with our elders the other day. I went to attend an assembly where my children were receiving some presents. There was a presentation, like awards, they call them. Excellence and integrity, and then you have wisdom. And so I think my children, they all fell under that category of excellence. And excellence covers a lot of areas. And then also they were integrity, few people. And then wisdom, they couldn't find a student to be given that award. And I laughed to one of the parents. I said, I think no one can give this unless the Lord gives, unless you ask. So what are we going to do with all these things? Well, tonight King David is teaching us that as we have received this from God, in obedience, because David himself, when he defeated the entire army of Hadadezer, he sent his son Joram to King David to greet him and congratulated him on his victory in battle over us, who had been at war with Tur. Joram brought with him articles of silver and gold and bronze. King David dedicated these articles to the Lord as he had done with the silver and gold from all the nations he had subdued. Just he dedicated these things. And you see, a man whose God blesses, or woman, and want to obey God, he will not run away with these things. He will give them back to God. Something Saul didn't succeed in doing, isn't it? Saul didn't do that. You remember when they defeated people back in 1 Samuel chapter 15? That mounted to his rejection. He hid a lot of his spoils, isn't it? He kept the best. Saul and the army spared Agag and the best of the sheep and cattle. And that is chapter 15, verse 9 onward. And the lamb, everything that was good, these they were unwilling to destroy completely because they were commanded to do that. But everything that was despised and weak, they totally destroyed. They were serving themselves with the very thing that God has given them. They didn't show any gratitude that the God who supplies their need today will do it tomorrow. And that is why some people would just want to play with tax returns and things like that, even in their dealings and things like that. So we need to be open about all these things, for God cares. And then really God reacted because he sees everything. He said to Samuel, go tell Saul. He said, David say, who am I? I was just a small behind animals. And Saul also, he was coming from a very small tribe. Although you were once small in your own eyes. Samuel was telling Saul, in your own eyes, did you not become the head of the tribes of Israel? Raised up into a place of honor is from God. The Lord anointed you king over Israel, and he sent you on a mission, saying, go and completely destroy those wicked people, the Amalekites, make war on them until you have wiped them out. Why? Give an explanation. Why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord? And now King David is teaching us the way of the righteous. The way of the righteous is to give back to God what he has in the first place has given us. And that is why he is dedicating all these things, giving back all these things to God. He also dedicated the plunder taken from Hadad Azor, son of Rehob, king of Zobah. Friends, God wants to teach us that if we are to go on experiencing victory over our enemies, comes and obedience comes first. And when an obedience comes in the form of giving back to God all that he has given us and giving thanks to him for that. Giving thanks and obedience go together. This is a way of defeating our enemies, because God wants to defeat our own enemies. And we see in the New Testament, Apostle Paul saying that even we as Christians, our weapons of warfare are not carnal. We are a people also called to experience victory after victory. And yet today we are unable. Maybe we ask the Lord to search us. Maybe we are keeping some plunders under the carpet. Maybe we are not really open with God and to ask him, what will we do with all that you have given us? The understanding of the truth and the heart for the people. Sometimes we say a lot that we need to love one another. Maybe we love one another, but maybe in the wrong way. In the wrong way. Maybe we want to love one another and not really give back to God all that he wants from us. Because all these things, they work together. You can be the nicest person on earth, but if you are not doing what God wants, it's just zero altogether. It's zero altogether. All that matters is God to be honored first and foremost. And there you see with your own eyes the territories that you will tread. And see God's blessings, giving you the desires of your hearts, the best man on earth. And the best man of earth is to marry you is not the one with blue eyes or whatever. Maybe it's the one who is godly, with loving, kind, patience. You see, the one who will say, who will honor all the vows he made at the wedding, who will be on your bedside, in good and in bad. So love here really has to be defined in the terms of God himself. We can't say we love God and we don't give him what he wants. Just the small things that we used to do. And I think that was God exercise. Yeah, when I was a young man, I was delayed. I got married when I was 36. People make a lot of comments about that. And so, and yeah, one day a young woman said to me, like, look, God spoke to me and said, you will marry me. He says, how would you respond to something like that? You see, and maybe you girls, the same thing, who are unmarried today. Well, guess what I did? God gave me wisdom. I said, well, if that is the Lord, I can't say no to what the Lord says. That was my response. And yet, because God was in that, and she quickly said, oh, no, God didn't speak to me. You see, just to keep her eyes, and I mean to just keep her integrity. And that was done in the presence of God and everything like that. So we need to be open with God. And when God, and the thing that the Lord is pressing on our hearts, if there will be any victory in our lives, will be the Lord to give it to us. And he will give it as we obey and do everything that he wants us to do. And especially in the areas of his blessings upon our lives, to give back to him all that he has given us. Whether it's understanding of his will, whether even love for the people is something we should not be boasting about for ourselves, is to give thanks to God for giving us a heart for his own people, giving us the right understanding to see his people that are precious, or not only his people, every human being. Because today, in this world, we have classes, isn't it? Some people are not even considered as human. Some even are not. But how about the man of God? Because the doctrine of man is one of the greatest doctrines in God's revelation. Because you will understand what is man created in the image of God. Even if the image is marred and lost, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross of Calvary for every single human being on earth. And so as a man of God, as a woman of God, as a child of God, as a believer in Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit, every human beings, you can say, is Christ, is God. Even the terrorist, you may hate what they do, terrorizing people and killing people, but you will have great sympathy for them because they are lost. They are in the hand of the enemy. Just imagine, Apostle Paul himself, he was a terrorist, isn't it? Terrorizing Christian believers in the Christ, in the Lord. And now he is, this is the man who is telling us that in God's mercy for him, he has been given weapons that are not carnal, but to destroy and to demolish all the thoughts that are against God. And that was an understanding that God has given him himself. And now he's using this knowledge and this authority to destroy the work of the enemy and to declare that we are God's people. We will not boast beyond proper limits, but will confine our boasting to the field God has assigned to us. Even this man, he will just notice that our field. You see, William Carey, when he was told, it's not William Carey. I think Athanasius. Athanasius, he was told that the whole world is against you. And then he said, and I am against the whole world. Because by himself. So that was an understanding. So just he positioned himself to boast in the true knowledge of Christ himself. And so Apostle Paul is doing this the same. So this is what he says. But the one whom the Lord commends, he is the one the Lord commends. And he fights in his spirit. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The knowledge we have, the understanding we have, is not from this world. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. And David could do that. And that was what he was doing. He was demolishing the things that were assigned for him. For God to fulfill all his promises he has made for his own people. And we are a people who are destined to overcome, to know God's blessings, to know him touching us, to know him healing us, to know him opening doors for us, to know him restoring our children, blessing them, and bringing them back, and not giving up on the things. David himself, he had to fight the battles, even though God gave him the victories. So he had to go. So we have just a small part to play. And the greatest part of the small part that we have to play is to obey and to give thanks to God and to give back to him after that all that he has given us and say, like, we are not worthy. We are not worthy of all these things. May the Lord give us grace to be a people who know how to defeat our enemies, because our enemies are many, are assailing us. So let us just go back and see where we have fallen and ask the Lord to really restore us, to be a people who will have upper hand over our enemy. Because that was not God's designs. We were not called to be defeated. You see, to be defeated, we're called to overcome. We were not called to go around mourning. You see, it's God who wants to turn our mourning into rejoicing. We were not just called to do that with the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The Lord wouldn't just leave us with the work of the flesh, isn't it? They will destroy us. But we have been given life and in abundance. And this life is to be lived to full. Let us, because God is faithful. He wouldn't just say things that we cannot experience, isn't it? Why would God say this will happen and we cannot experience it? Why will say, like, in quietness and return, that is your strength. That was what we read this morning, Psalm 30, I think Isaiah 30. You know, if we are not friends, frankly speaking, if we are not careful with this, some of us will go mad because we cannot reconcile the truth of God here with the life we are living. We will be mad. And I don't want to be mad, isn't it? I want to know the victories of God's people. I want to know the joy of the Lord. I want to see God blessing me. I want to see God using me. Because that was what Paul was saying, isn't it? To preach the gospel. He was assigned territories. Each one of us has been assigned territories. Even if you have one friend to encourage to come to faith, that is your territory, isn't it? Even to come and just bring God's presence in whatever circles he's allowing you to go there. When you go there, you are mindful of the fact that you are bringing influence. That is why you go prayerfully, because the enemy will be angry. And when you notice that and people notice this, also don't boast and don't be proud. Just humble yourself and thank God. One of the worst things we can ever do as believers, the boasting and the pride of because of what the Lord God has done us to, for us. Just imagine if King David would want to boast about his mighty victories, about the amount of the army that he is commanding. And yet this man, I love this phrase he made. When his wife was trying to despise him, when he was dancing like a crazy man, maybe half naked, and his wife was not happy about that. And he said, oh, even your servant, these slave girls, they will despise you. They will think there's something wrong with you. And King David said, oh, no. If they despise me, even I will even humiliate myself before my very eyes. What a humility. That will be a small thing. But I myself, even I can't, I would just even humiliate myself, because what I see here is just beyond me being so proud. May the Lord help us to defeat all our enemies, for there are many. There are many. Even the blessing that is trying to block for God's people who have been really praying for God to step in.